Graham read our text from Luke chapter 22, but truly to understand the story of Peter, we need to read a little earlier in chapter 22, verse 33. Peter, looking at Jesus, said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." To which Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Three times that you even know me. After this, of course, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives to Gethsemane. Jesus is betrayed by Judas, and then he's arrested. And then the court begins. Graham read the text. Jesus is taken to the home of the high priest. Peter is there, and others are outside warming themselves around the campfire. In the courtyard, a servant girl looks at him, gazes at him, and says, "That man was with him." Peter responds, "Woman, I don't even know him." A man looks at him and says, "You were one of them." Peter says, "I am not one of them." It was about an hour later, according to Scripture, that one looked at him. John's gospel says that the one who looked at him, that his brother had been the one that Peter had, or a relative, that Peter had chopped his ear off with a sword. That servant's name was Malchus. And Malchus' relative looks and says, "Certainly this fellow was with him. Look, he's a Galilean." To which Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Matthew and Mark said, and he began to swear and to curse. And as he did, he heard the rooster crow. And Jesus looks at him. Now, we don't know, was Jesus in the high priest's house, in the gallery? Was Jesus looking at a window? But he looked, and Peter looked, and Peter remembered, and Peter weeps. Those nine verses, chapter 22, nine verses, there are so many sermons that we could find, so many lessons that reach out and speak to us. Let me share three that speak to me. Stop. The first lesson, stop. Stop following Jesus at a distance. Verse 54, they seized Jesus, they led him away, took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. The Gospels are filled with those who followed Jesus. Often their names are listed. Remember the blind beggar? A few weeks ago, as Jesus came into the outskirts of Jericho, he was healed and he followed Jesus. The disciples were called and they followed Jesus. The Gospels say large crowds followed, the multitudes followed, many followed, they followed Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Many heard this, and many said, "I will follow you, Jesus, but first I must..." "Oh, Jesus, I want to follow you. Right after, Jesus, I will follow you. Let me, however..." How many follow Jesus at a distance? Ask yourself, is your relationship to Jesus a long distance relationship? How far behind Jesus do you find yourself walking? How distant is your relationship to other believers? Do others even know you have a relationship and are following Jesus? How would you describe your relationship with the very bride of Christ, the church? Oh, I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. Oh, the church, the bride of Christ. I think our lesson for Peter is stop. Stop following Jesus at a distance, but walk hand in hand with Him. Stop and look. Look straight at Jesus, and you will find Jesus looking at you. Verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. For many of us, when we think of that scripture, when we picture Jesus in the house of Annas or Caiaphas looking at Jesus, we picture, a look of judgment. Maybe Jesus in that look was saying, yep, I told you so. Was it a look of disappointment? A look of anger? A look of sadness? Or could it be that Jesus' look at Peter was a look of love and compassion, of mercy and grace? That's the way Jesus looks at us. Love and mercy, compassion and grace. When you hurt, look to Jesus. When you're lonely, look to Jesus. When you've been stabbed in the back by that friend who denies you, look to Jesus. When you feel betrayed by all of those around, look to Jesus. In days of sorrow, look to Jesus. He's looking at you. When you feel despised, when you feel rejected, when you feel tempted, He knows. He knows. I love what the writer of Hebrews said. Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of those who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful, faithful high priest in the service of God, that He might make atonement for the sins of the people, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, and He is able to help those who are tempted too. In chapter 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just like we are. He did not sin, however. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Look at Jesus. He's looking with compassion and mercy at you. Stop following at a distance and look at Jesus. And finally, the lesson of Peter Listen. Listen, and you will hear Jesus proclaim, no failure need be final. Jesus didn't write Peter off. He could have. You will deny me, 1, 2, 3, and he did. Peter's denial, however, was not the end of the story. When we think of Peter, I needed some of the older children today to help me. When we think of Peter, most of us think, Peter, oh, the rooster, oh, Peter, the great denier, Peter messed up. Peter, he did mess up. He did deny. He failed, not just those three times. When we read the whole gospel account, we know that Peter and Jesus had several times when Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, you're acting like Satan. But his failures were never final. That shouldn't be what we think of when we think of Peter. After Jesus was crucified, after the resurrection, before Jesus ascended to the Father, he's there with his apostles. John finishes his gospel with this story. They were eating. And Jesus looked at Peter. Peter, Jesus asked, do you love me more than these? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. And Jesus said again, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, then take care of my sheep. The third time, Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus said, then go and feed my sheep. Three times, not denying, but three times showing his love. Feed my sheep. Peter did. Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2. After Pentecost, and they were all speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit came down. Verse 14, and Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice. He addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what the prophet spoke in the last days. God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will preach. And preach, Peter did. Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise is for you and is for your children and is for all who are far off, for all who will call upon the Lord. And with those words, Peter preached and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who heard the message of Peter that day were saved and baptized. 3,000 were added to their number. No failure is final. No failure is final. If Jesus could take his dear friend Peter, who denied him, and make him the great preacher of the gospel, just think what he could do with you. I don't know what failure you have in life. Maybe a marriage has failed. It's not final. Maybe you've been in a great business. You started a business, and during COVID, it failed. You're not a failure. That's not the final word. Maybe there's been a failure in your life of morals or of ethics, a failure in integrity. Maybe your judgment has failed. Listen to me. No failure. The lesson of Peter is no failure. No failure need be final. The Apostle Paul, who was known as Saul in Acts chapter 8, Stephen is stoned, left for dead, and is dead, and Saul stood by and approved the killing of the Christians. That same Paul had a wonderful, dramatic conversion experience, and he found Jesus. Apostle Paul, writing to those believers in Philippi, said, "Not that I have already obtained it, not that I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself having taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." No failure. No failure need be final with Jesus Christ. Oh, as we journey towards the cross and towards the resurrection. For weeks now we've been on the journey. Only 2 weeks in Palm Sunday. 3 weeks and we'll be filled on Easter. Don't allow these weeks to pass you by. Allow Jesus' experience with Peter to influence your experience with him. Stop. Stop following at a distance. But today, say, "I want to be right with you, Jesus." Stop and look. Regardless of where you are and what you've done, look into the eyes of Jesus and you will see him looking at you with compassionate grace and mercy and love. And listen. Listen to Jesus. And you will hear him say, "Whatever you have failed, whenever you have messed up, come unto me, for no failure is final." We're going to sing. We're going to sing a song about Jesus. The scripture says, "The stone that the builders rejected, that stone has become the chief cornerstone." During these days of COVID, 1 year, one long year, we're not there yet, I found myself singing "Christ Alone." Christ alone, my cornerstone. Weak that's made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord of all. Would you stand?